Might be one of them services. I just love you and appreciate you. I'm going to go ahead and just give a couple quick testimonies. We can keep this on, if you would, for YouTube and for the Now Network, for the broadcast that we have. I'm all by myself up here today because of I know what I got required to say today, and I know that there are tremendous changes taking place in people's lives, and I'm very grateful. First, want to say that we had 5 salvations. Is that right? At the jailhouse Friday night. Praise God. 5 salvations. Man, that was like 2 the other day. 7. Amen. So God is moving. I don't even know what the numbers are for this year. It's probably more than last year, I would think. We just stopped counting this year and just said, whatever. The Lord handles all that. But last year was over 500 salvations, verified salvations, not guessing. You know, this is eyewitnesses. People were there. So we just thank the Lord for that. I wanted to share this with you real quick as another testimony. Christine told me, actually kind of IM'd me on Facebook, but it wasn't the whole thing, you know, until you talk personally. But, you know, we're believing for Acts 16:31 miracle salvations. And it's been the past couple weeks, you know, I really felt impressed that we should push and pray and believe. And even though we already lay hands upon it, just an extra push. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're this close to a miracle and you don't even know it. In fact, the closest you come to a miracle, the greater the resistance. Let me try that again. The closer you come to your breakthrough, victory, and miracle is when the fur starts flying and the fists start flying is right there. You're about to break through. Don't give in. And so we've been declaring that, and she told me that on Thanksgiving, during their morning time, they were watching several of our videos from Ignited, some preaching, with her family that was up from Florida, and her son-in-law gave his life to Jesus. Come on, gave his life to Jesus after watching some sermons. I said, which one? She said, multiple. He just broke him down. He was convicted, recognized and realized that truth was being preached. The reality of what he saw outside matched. Remember, that's what we're wanting. We're wanting a match. And then people's eyes open up, and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that. And so imagine that on Thanksgiving Day, you have a family member cry the way, not just, hey, I just want to get saved and feel better, weeping because they realize the sin that is going on around them in their own life and want to make it right with Jesus. So I had to make mention of those 2 great testimonies of what God is doing. And that is why we do what we do. That is why we preach the way we preach. And if it was all for one, then it was worth it all. And we have to understand that. And so thank you, Christine, for telling me. That blesses my heart. And there may be a possibility we'll be seeing this family member again. Amen? Amen. All right. So God is good, and I had to share that with you. Heavenly Father, hide me today behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise and the honor and the glory. It's about his name, King Jesus. How amazing is that name? How amazing is that love? Father, I rejoice in these 5 salvations in our county jail. I rejoice, Father God, in this one soul, this lost sheep that was brought back into your fold. I rejoice in the multiplied hundreds, and I'm believing for even thousands that will come to know you over the next few months, Father God. I believe for a great harvest of souls in these last days. Father, I need you today to help me to articulate the message that you have given to me. Would you give those that hear ears, Father, to hear this truth, and that they may run with this vision, and they may declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, bless this house, and bless everybody watching today, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. Again, I love you, and I appreciate you. I thank God for what's happening in this house, what's happening outside of this house and this family. Do continue to pray for those that are part of this church. Let me give you this word the Lord spoke to me. He said, a sudden stop to the way of life is coming to America. Your speed of progression will meet your wall of rebellion and judgment. You have ignored the warning signs and the calls of my prophets. Your music and surfeiting has deafened you. Now is the time to prepare for impact. My fury is on the horizon, though you cannot see, and desire for this to all go away. The reality of my judgment is here. Brace yourself, you foolish nation of prideful pageantry, arrayed in scarlet, decked out in purple. Your gowns of lust and greed will be tattered and torn by your enemies for pay. They will acquire of you that which you cannot repay. How many of y'all know there's a payday? Someday. This is the hour of my return, a return to my house, the one that has been swept clean by repentance, tears, and sorrow of heart, a place made ready for my glorious presence and power. Take heed, be prepared for the sudden stop that will change the world. This whiplash will be felt on every shore, and every nation will know that I am everything that I said I am. Powerful word, powerful truth. But unfortunately, as this nation and this world spins out of control, it seems that there is very little repentance before us. And I believe that you could say amen to that. Even though I rejoice for the souls that are born again and the lives that contact us and say, hey, man, what a great change has taken place. Until the whole world knows, our job is never done. This message, I want to just say it out from the get-go, is going to be very raw. It's going to be very hard for those that are watching live and those that are going to be watching through various platforms and listening. I encourage you, if you're weak at heart, don't listen to this. If you have children that you don't think should hear some things, then I highly encourage you to get them out of the room. And I don't say any of that lightly or for shock treatment or shock and awe. I just have to be very plain today and very raw. Is that okay? So I'm going to do that, but I wanted to start out with a disclaimer because I am not setting off to be rude. I'm not setting off to be mean-spirited or any of those things. This is just a very serious hour that we're living in. The title of this message is the very word the Lord spoke to me before I received this entire download, and that name is Whiplash. The title of this message is Whiplash. Now, the definition of whiplash, as many as you know, is an injury that is caused to the neck and to the head area by a sudden stop, a sudden whipping of the head and the neck. And those of you like me that have been involved in an accident, you know what that feels like, and it doesn't feel too good because everything that you were doing in forward motion all of a sudden comes stopping, and all that is there unsecured goes forward, and it causes great pain. And the Lord spoke in the beginning of this message that there was coming a sudden stop to the lifestyle that we now live. To many that are sitting in churches all across America and around the world, this is Fantasy Island speech to them, and it's so far from reality because they're living in the good life, and they're drinking the Kool-Aid of the New World Order, and they're drinking the Kool-Aid of the New Age movement of the church, and they believe that everything's just fine. But for you and I, everything is not fine. Those that really care about the soul of America and care about the soul of your neighbor in society, we recognize and realize that everything is not well. As the Lord was giving me this message, he spoke to me and he said, idolatry is the stumbling block of America. Idolatry is the stumbling block of America. Idolatry is what's going to cause the whiplash of our nation. Idolatry is what's going to cause us to stop our forward progress in which we currently think we are making. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10, if you would, for that is where I was led to go. Jeremiah chapter 10. Some say no surprise, but to me, it's always a surprise because I have no idea where I'm headed to. I don't know if he ever requires me to preach out of the maps. Is anybody here today? Thanksgiving's over. I'm going to get rid of this tie. Somebody say amen. I'm going to throw it to my first lady and only lady. Somebody ought to say amen to that, because you don't get that much of the church. Jeremiah chapter 10. Again, idolatry is the stumbling block of America, and I'm going to go over some major points of idolatry in this nation. In fact, I am going to narrow it down to a specific area that the Lord wanted me to. Verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. First of all, the word for hear is Shema. And in the Hebrew, it means to hear and to obey. The problem with most churches and Christians today is that we hear, but we don't obey. We hear and we do the up and down of the head, and I call them bobblehead Christians. I've said it for many years from this church, we're going to make millions of dollars with the bobblehead Christian. Come on, somebody. Y'all remember the little dog in the back of the Impala? Always going up and down as in to say yes. But the reality is we all know these things, but we don't apply the truth. So he said, hear. And he said, hear it with listening ears. Hear it with obeying ears. Hear the word of the Lord that speaks to you, O house of Israel. Again, we don't want to listen and obey the word of the Lord. Though we are considered a Christian nation, we go to church and we do the routines and the religious calisthenics to make our conscience feel good. But in reality, we do not live a life of a true believer. Because the moment you start to discipline somebody as a disciple of Christ, then they have attitude and flee and run and tuck the tail between their legs. But a true disciple is willing to carry the cross no matter the cost and go the distance of the lamb in order to fulfill the training that God has applied to them. But it's so hard to find them in the kingdom of God. It's so hard to find true fathers and true teachers and true leaders that will love and will discipline and bring correction with love. And so verse 1, he starts out, he said, hear me and hear it with obeying ears. Hear me and do what I'm asking you to do. Again, the time is growing so short in America. For the time of us to repent and the time to be restored as a people, not as a nation, but as a people, is running ever so thin. The time is running ever so short. Verse 2, and thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Now Jeremiah is prophesying to a country that is full of idolatry. They are headed into Babylonian captivity. The die has been set, if you will, and the judgment has been proclaimed. But he still sends his prophets and watchmen in the midst of the hour of judgment to warn, because he is a loving God. And so they were about to be dealt with for their idolatry, for their sin, for the witchcraft that was not only rampant in the government halls of authority, but was also in the homes of the priests and the shepherds, the pastors. It was in the homes of those who say that they loved God, yet their heart was so far from him. They'd rather give him lip service than heart service. We have many folks like that in the house. But he says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. I'm bringing you, Jeremiah the prophet, to speak to you to not do what you've done before like the heathen, not to follow the pagan Babylonian ways of your forefathers and those to whom have been around you and who have seduced you and have brought you into this place of debauchery. Because I'm telling you, you're going to go into further captivity because you've learned the way of the heathen. I must make an announcement to you today and those to whom will listen to me, and as far as God will allow this voice to go, that this nation is already pagan. It is already Babylonian. We've already gone to the place of no return, and we refuse to listen to thus saith the Lord. And the sad aspect of this, it is also found within the house of God. And though I do cry out every week and every moment I have an opportunity to stand with a microphone in one hand and a Bible in the other, I still believe that somebody somewhere will turn before they burn, and that somebody somewhere will call upon the name of Jesus, and that hope is always found in the power of truth. And that is why I do what I do. But Jeremiah was in this position, to where he had already prophesied, signed, and sealed the judgment that was coming to this nation. But God still sent him on a mercy mission to declare and decree the truth that I'm reading to you this morning. America has gone the way of idolatry. We're a nation that worships the idols of entertainment, the idols of money, the idols of materials. We are the nation that desires self and stuff more than any country in the world. Though all men have a void in their heart and all men lust for things, there's no nation like America that consumes like we do. Just recently, I read a report that in New York City, there's a website called Pornhub. Some of you may know and may not know of this particular website, but they have been given and granted license and opportunity to set up a shop, a storefront in New York City. And if you don't know anything about Pornhub, they're one of the largest pornography websites in America with over 64 million visitors a day. And not only will they sell pornography and toys and these different things, they will have a bed that will be inside of this store that will allow you to watch live stream as you sit. This is America, the United States of America. This is Babylon that I'm reading to you reports. But yet everything's fine in America. How could they allow such a thing to open up inside of a city who back in the 90s had a great David versus Goliath battle and shut down so many of the smut that took place in that city? But yet now they opened the doors wide. He said, learn not the way of the heathens. 64 million people visit this website on a daily basis. Let it sink into your mind for just a minute and calculate how much that is a week, and calculate how much that is a month, and calculate how much that is a year. And that is the sewage that pours through our internet system. And that is one site of many. Learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the heathen are dismayed at them. In other words, don't follow the way of the world. Don't follow the way of sin and degradation and debauchery. And we wonder why there's so much exposure of sin and lust in America and sexual harassment. We wonder why our children are being become prey by predators. And we wonder why a man can't stand and stay with his wife, and the wife can't stay and stand with her husband, because the spirit is upon this nation and it is an open sewage. We've learned the ways of the heathen. We are a sin-sick nation. Verse 3. I hope you can handle me today. Verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain. The word vain means empty. I don't know about you, but the more that I live this life that God has graced and granted me, I begin to recognize and realize that all things are vanity. The entertainment system is vanity. It's left me vain. It left me empty. Our sporting today is vain. It's empty. Though I enjoy my holiday and I enjoy friends and food and fellowship, at the end of the day, it is empty. Because there's only one that can satisfy, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there's a void in our heart that's calling for home, 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 sweet home. This whole world is growing dim. But he said it is vain. The customs of the people. In other words, the lifestyle is vain. There's an amazing thing about lust, that lust will never satisfy you. Lust will burn you like yellow fever. Lust will burn you like a disease. It'll never satisfy you. The Bible declares that the horse leech cries, give, give. And so does the womb. That's where we are in America. It's vanity. It's become vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest. The work of the hands of a workman with the axe. We're a nation of emptiness. We're a nation where there's no seemingly joy at the fruit of our labors. Now, I know this is not for everyone, and it is not a message of doom and gloom. There is joy when you have God and you understand the principles of life. But when you look across the landscape for those who abuse their bodies and abuse this world and abuse life, it is all but vanity. And that's what this nation has come to. Is anybody still in the house? We're living in such vanity today and such emptiness that man can no longer be satisfied with the affection of a woman that God would give to him, that he must now cross over and find another man to lie with. And the same it is for a woman who has been deceived and has been brought into subjection, into that lifestyle, and there is nothing that satisfies on both sides. If the truth would be known that when they come to the end of their life, they are found both in wreck and ruin. They're in drug addiction and need help, psychological help, and as well as spiritual help. There is vanity at the end of sin. But yet we still peddle this sin and this lust in Hollywood and in music. And we still tell our children by displaying these things that this is the way to go. But the reality is, at the end of this is vanity. It is empty. Those of you that have gone the way that I have gone through sin and lust and craziness of life, you know as well as I do, at the end of that rainbow is no pot of gold, but a pot of trouble. And the sad thing about it is that the American preacher standing up today does not have the tenacity or the boldness to declare the truth and to lead people towards holiness and righteousness, but yet they want to lead them to the edge of sin, to come to the edge in the corner, to push the envelope, if you will. How far can I still love God and say I love him and sin and get away with it and make heaven? Honey, I want to get as far away from hell as I possibly can and get as close as I can to a living God and to feel the power of his presence in my life. I'm not skating on the edge of hell. I'm not going to dance a dance with the devil, if you will. And so he said it was but vanity. It is empty. And our nation is empty. Our soul has a hole and we're empty. We've tried a new president and we're still empty. We've tried a new Congress. We're still empty.
We've tried a new football season, but we're still empty. We've tried a new series of television programs, and we're still empty. We've tried wars and rumors of wars, and we're still empty. We are an empty nation that only Jesus Christ of Nazareth can fill. And we're burning with lust. Right now and across the world today, there is a new demonic phenomenon that is taking place in the realm of lust. Sex robots are taking place of human relationships. Right now, the industry is exploding that they are looking into building factories for mass production of sexual robots in the United Kingdom, in Germany, and in good old USA. Is anybody here with me? I'm not talking about blow-up dolls that you saw on the movie Airplane. I'm talking about lifelike robots that have over 11 points of feelings. Can anybody say dancing with the devil? Because that's exactly what is taking place. We are entertaining demons and demon powers. I don't care if they got batteries or you plug them in. It's demon power, and it's seducing the hearts and the minds of men and women around the world. Whiplash is coming to this country. We cannot afford to continue to go at a high speed and a high rate of speed, ignoring the warning signs, ignoring the prophets, ignoring people as myself. We are coming on head on with collision. The collision of our sin and the collision of judgment. Sex robots. And I thought the Jetsons were a little far out. The only robot I saw there brought some food and drink. But today that's not enough for man. Our lust is burning within us that we have to have artificial relationship. I told you, you ought to put the children away. You can't handle me today on this. But this is the reality, and this is why we are living in the judgment hour of God. How long can we let this go? How further can God allow this to take place when we exchange our vows with a robot? What will happen to his inheritance? There will be no more children to be born. Because man is so caught up in his lust that he has to have this. Is anybody here with me today? And it's not only man that is caught up in this lust. We also have the lust that fills the minds and the hearts and the void of women. Recent survey said that over 44% of women between 18 to 60 years old has at least one sex toy in their possession. Shall I change the channel now? Does anybody understand what I'm telling you today? He said, vain are the customs of the people. They have gone after the ways of the heathen. We have gotten away from the reality of creation and the divine pleasure of God, where we seek after demon power. 44%, and that number is probably higher today. It's a $15 billion industry. And sometimes I can't get people to tithe and do the right thing, but they can spend $15 billion on sex toys. You're not going to hear this much on any other channel today. And I take no pleasure in this. I take no joy in this. There is no glee for me to have to say these things. But this is why whiplash will come to America. This is why we will be judged, because we left our first love. We left our first state, and we're going after all these things to bring pleasure to us, when God and God alone is a satisfier of all men and all souls. I understand the struggles, and I got it. But the reality is, we've got power over our flesh, and we've got power over the devil. The problem with this message this morning is that preachers are preaching, whether they say it from the pulpit or they use some type of trickery in their messages or whether they talk privately during marriage conferences, there are preachers who support those things right now. I know it. I will not name names, but I know of a particular ministry that's one state away from here. You got a couple to pick from in Georgia, don't you? But they teach and they believe that you can do whatever you want within the marriage bed because it's undefiled, including watch soft porn, and also lead you into these types of seduction to where you share these things with your spouse. To quote you, one person, an authority of a major ministry said, any hole will do. You see, that's the condition of the Church of America today. That's the condition that all the glossy, pretty television programs that are out there don't want you to really know about them. But it's a cesspool. It's a cesspool in the Christian music industry. It's a cesspool in the green room of our mega churches. And I know because I've been there. Are you still in verse 3? Are you still shocked? These are the kind of things that you would talk at the pool hall. These are the things that you would discuss in the alleyway. These are the things that you would talk about somebody else down the road. But the indictment is, this is the Church of America. This is our halls of authority and our political offices. This is exactly where America is. It is a cesspool of lust and sin. We're unbridled. We're unchained. We're unfettered. We're a free bird. And we do what we want to do. And how dare you to tell me, preacher, I should act differently. Well, the reality is you can live any old way you want to, but there's a payday someday, and one day you will stand before an awesome God. And I'm not looking to hear my sermon replayed. All you need to hear is the Prince of Preachers, Jesus Christ, tell you the wages of sin is still death. We're eat up with fever of lust. Verse 4. And they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers that it move not. We've created this idol in our country. We've created this demon power in our country. We've entertained it and gave it a doorway and an entrance into our homes. It's called television. It's called media platforms. We fastened it so that we could fill our lust up. And that we could be overflowing with it. And it does not just come from the power of media. It all comes, also comes from the power of the eyes, in which we see these things and we lust for them deeply in our hearts. Verse 5, they are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. So Jeremiah is using an illustrated sermon that was applicable for his day, but yet it's the same for us because we have made idols again that allows us to be drawn away from the holiness of God and from the design and divine plan of God. So that now we go a-whoring after other gods. We go a-whoring after other entities. We go a-whoring after other pagan, Babylonian, heathen ways. That's where America is today. And that is why the whiplash will come so strong. It'll become so mighty upon us. Again, if you've never been involved in an accident where you didn't see it coming, it isn't fun. No accident is fun, but especially when you get blindsided. I'm warning you today so you don't become blindsided. I'm warning you today so your family doesn't become blindsided. You must warn them. You must tell them. You must tell them the day of reckoning is upon our nation and there is a payday for our sin. Verse 6 and 7, I don't have time to read, but there is your key for revival. We need to go back to the true and living God. Watch this in verse 8. Does everybody still love me a little bit? I was hoping for a whole lot, but I'll take a little bit. Verse 8, but they're altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. This description is not just for the idols, but also for the formers and the founders and makers of these idols. And the word brutish and foolish, if you were to study it out, it means stupid. But they're altogether stupid. These doctrines of vanities. And that is the doctrine that we have today over most pulpits across America. Not all, but many or most preach a doctrine of vanities. They talk about going to a sporting event. They talk about what they did, and the pastor's not there on Sunday because he's hunting with his buddies. Y'all ain't helping me. It's this season, so he's gone. It's that season, so he's not around. And we have all of these doctrines of vanities. We talk about how wealthy we are. We tell about all of our accomplishments in life. We talk about our degrees. We talk about the bishop's conference that we went to. Come on, somebody, help me. We talk about all these doctrines of vanities. We talk about your best day and how to be rich and how to be wealthy instead of rending our hearts before God and say, God, forgive us and have mercy upon a sin-soaked nation. We're stupid. Mama never liked me calling somebody stupid, but the Bible said I can call them stupid because they're stupid. Full of doctrines of vanities. You can turn across your dial anytime where Christian television is on, and it's nothing but a doctrine of vanities. Very hard to find Christian music that really brings you to the heart of Christ. We sing about our faith. We sing about our struggles. We sing about our trials. But few times do we ever cry out to a holy God and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Very, very few, because those songs don't sell, honey. Doctrines of vanities. That is what's being preached in our congregations and our churches today. That is what we're entertaining, is doctrines of vanities and doctrines of demons by stupid people. I would warn you and I would tell you, if they're not preaching the truth, they don't have to preach like me, and they don't have to be rash and bold and raw like me. But if they're preaching the truth, I would stick with them to the end. But if they're preaching a bunch of doctrines of vanities, run, run, run as far away as you can and get away from them. Because judgment begins at the house of God, and those are some of the first that will fall for leading God's people astray. Go back with me in verse 8. Can you handle me just a little longer? But they're altogether brutish and foolish. The stock of the doctrines of vanities. Silver spread into plates brought from Tarshish and gold from Upas. The work of the workmen of the hands of the founder, blue and purple in their clothing. And they're all work of cunning men. Notice that is the work of cunning men, seducing men, the men that look so good on television, the men that look like, come on somebody, Ken, and the wife looks like Barbie. This is reality, dude. I don't know where you live, but this is it right here. Don't you laugh too hard. You know what, you watch it, you say, man, look at the, I mean, wow. And then you look at the home and you look at everything else, you wow, man, they got to be hearing from God. When the reality is this, it's truth. It is truth. It is truth that must be preached. And when there's change of life, then you know truth has invaded you. It has touched you and manifested itself. What is truth? Jesus is truth. Nothing wrong with having things. Having things have you is what's wrong. The blessings of God, they are without repentance. The giftings of God, they're without repentance. But we look at our silver-tongued foxes who preach and teach to us all the time. And they lead us into these doctrines of vanities. They put silver plates and gold trim. So it draws us into what they're saying. I know there's people that will not listen to a small town preacher. They won't attend a church that's on the other side of the tracks. Come on, somebody. Because they want to hang with those that have clout and ability to promote. But I'm telling you, those days are coming to a fast close. They're going to come to these small country churches all around America and all around foreign countries. They're going to find that farmer, preacher, man who's on fire. And they're going to say, lay hands on me and get this demonized Babylonian lust off of me. Get these chains of bondage off of me, preacher. I can't stand it another day to be burned up with this lust. Free me by the power of Jesus Christ. Woo-wee. And you might be surprised what limousine pulls up and what puke spills out of it to get healed. That's all right. Open the door. Let stupid in. We'll believe God for them. So what's the difference as we look at this? And I pause for a moment to use our imagination. What is the difference between these whom I'm reading about and the current reality of Christianity? What's the difference between Hinduism and Christianity today? What's the difference between astrology and looking up into the skies with New Age imagination and that which is being preached from the pulpits of America? What is the difference? The only difference is we have a Bible and a cross, maybe. The only difference is that you really can't tell much difference. And this is what Jeremiah is trying to tell the church in this hour by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jeremiah 10. We have become the same as those heathens. And that is why we will go into bondage as a country. That is why we will face what we will face. Verse 14, you can read the others. When you have time, don't tell me if you have time. When you have time. And verse 14, and every man is brutish in his knowledge. Talking about being stupid. I'm just going to hang on stupid for a minute. Everybody's stupid in their knowledge. Look it up. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They're stupid. They follow after vain imaginations. They're stupid. They go after New Age teaching. They're stupid. They listen to people who, because they look good and act like they all got it together, they're stupid in their knowledge of God. They don't understand him because they follow Pastor Dum Dum. Verse 15, they are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of the visitation, they shall perish. God said, I'm going to deal with America. I'm going to give you a whiplash. I'm going to allow this collision to take place because you refuse to obey and you act stupid in America. You act stupid to the prophetic. You act stupid about the end times. We're raising up a generation of stupid people when it comes to the Bible because we can't find preachers to teach pure doctrine and eschatology about the end days. Everybody wants to fly, fly, fly away, oh glory. But some of us need to work, 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 and reach into the grasps of hell and pull people out of the fiery pit. That's what the church is for in this hour. Oh, I want to fly, fly, fly away, honey, but I got work to do. There's souls still to be saved. There's more family members like Christine's. There's still more family members like those upon the cross. There's still more prisoners like those that were won in the jail system here. I don't want to fly away. I don't want to fly away till my ticket's ready. My ticket's not ready. We got work to do for the kingdom. Don't follow Mr. and Mrs. Stupid. Because all you're going to spend time doing is looking up, trying to get out of here while the world goes to hell in a handbasket, and so does your family. Quit telling them about getting out of here. Teach them how to live in hell. Teach them how to live in Babylon. Teach them how to live in this pagan life. Teach them right for wrong. Teach them how they can live against this lustful society. Boy, I feel good. I can do this all day long. Thank God for that turkey the other day. Got a whole lot of protein in that thing. I only ate it 6 days. And it's only been three. Isn't that weird? What you want for a snack? No. I can flip the sandwich upside down, put the turkey on the bottom. No. Now I'm loosening you up. I'm fixing to swat you. Are you ready? Now watch this. They are vanity in the work of errors in the time of the visitation. This is verse 15. They shall perish. So there is a payday. There's a time that will come when God will collect the chips. There comes a day that God will collect those payments that are due him. And that day is upon us. And so my plea and my cry today, as I echo the echoes of Jeremiah, and I say that you must get out of the way of the stupid doctrine that keeps you from holiness and righteousness. Honey, there's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there's only one life to live, and that is a life of holiness and consecration to God. You don't get multiple choice living. Sorry. Verse 16. Watch this. The portion of Jacob is not like them. The portion of Jacob is not like them. The remnant church, the sold out, the whole route, those that love God, they are not like them. We are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean we look and dress funny. It just means that we're different. That when people are marching off to the smut shop and they're clicking on to the porn hub and they're looking at all kinds of debaucheries and they're following after the skirt of a woman to see how high it rises, we are the ones that look the other way, carrying the cross of Calvary and saying, my eyes will not go the way of the wicked. My feet will not travel the path of the unrighteous. I will stand before God in the courts of his holiness. That's us today. We're not like them. Though we're not so high and holy that we can't reach down to where they are, we just don't go live with them. Well, I'm just trying to win them. You can win them by your godly conversation and behavior. I'm going to tell you something. Darkness is always attracted to light. Hang in here. I'm going to get you out of here in just a minute. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I would rather be called a preacher of doom and gloom and a fiery preacher and other names I've been called. I would rather be called those names knowing that I am going to be seated with Jesus. Come on, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I would rather know that I'm going to hear, well done, the good and faithful servant, than to become friends with the preacher's club and clan and clique. I'd rather serve God than serve man. I'm going to preach this thing as long as I have breath. Verse 17. Somebody already hoped I died. Can you believe that? Someone who called themselves a Christian hoped that I had died. I'm still here by the grace of God. Gather up the wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. In other words, get your stuff up because you're fixing to go into captivity. Get your stuff up. Pick up those things that are considered valuable to you because we're fixing to go on a journey. Say, preacher, why are we going on this journey? Because we're sin-soaked and we're full of fever for our lust. Hard to find a man and a woman who could hang out in the same room momentarily without something happening. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And the intentions to be barbaric by both. So get your stuff up. Get the sin out. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once and will distress them that they may find it so. God said this. He said it this way. He said, because of your idolatry, because of your sin, because of the sin of homosexuality and lesbianism, because of the lust of the man and the lust of a woman and the craziness of debauchery that you are now enfevered with, he said, I'm going to allow the land to sling you out. I am going to remove you from your land of prosperity and the beauty of freedom and peace and safety that we all love. It's coming because you cannot sustain this. You can't. What will God say to Sodom and Gomorrah if he allows us to continue to go down this trail? He would have to repent and say, I'm sorry. But you won't find the Father ever saying he's sorry or repent, because he need not to, for he's done no wrong. Nor can he, nor will he do any wrong. He's saying in verse 18, but if you look at the end there, he said, there'll be no doubt. You're going to find out so. There will be no doubt. You're not going to wonder where we are. You're not going to wonder what's happening in eschatology in the end times. You won't have to turn on your television. You look outside the window, and that is what's happening right now. There is no doubt where we are. I don't have time to tell you what's happening in our universe. I don't have time to tell you how the earth is quaking and shaking and it's moaning, how craziness is taking place, fires and explosions, and this mystery and that mystery, and this person who was a witness to a crime is now dead, and on and on and on and on it goes. I don't have time. People write me all the time and they give me more information than what I can possibly preach in the little bit of time I'm with you. Believe me, and I appreciate it. But I'm telling you, it's a plethora of sewage outside. I can only do so much with the time I have. Verse 19, woe to me, for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief and I must bear it. I got a message for the remnant. You're going to have to bear this. I got a message for those that want to go. We got to work. We're going to have to bear this grief. We're going to have to lay underneath this harness, and we're going to have to pull this load, and we're going to have to continue to fight and continue to preach and continue to believe God so the souls of humanity can find a way called holiness. We're building a highway. That's what John the Baptist did. He was a messenger. He prepared the way of the highway for God, a way of holiness. Man, I feel like preaching all day long, but I can tell some of y'all, your fangs are drooping. Verse 20. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. Here's the grieving part. He's not only grieving for the idolatry, but Babylon does what Babylon does. Sinners do what sinners do. But here's the grieving part. My tabernacle is spoiled and all the cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. For the pastors have become stupid. If you want to be King Jamesish, brutish. They become stupid and have not sought the Lord. If you don't seek the Lord, you're stupid. If you don't preach the word of God, preacher, you're stupid. You have fallen short of the plan of God, and God doesn't want you to lead others astray. So guess what? He might just move you. For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flock shall be scattered. I believe the judgment is coming on the house to where preachers are going to be exposed and they will be scattered. Their sheep will be scattered. Their wealth will be scattered because they trusted in stupid doctrines of demons and you trusted in denominations who are leading you astray. You dance to the political tune and not the prophetic reality of God. You're stupid. He's saying here in verse 20, where are the righteous? Where are the righteous to keep my tabernacle up? Where are the workers that will extend out the stakes and extend the cords and make my kingdom great and preach this gospel to the nations of the earth? Where are the pillar people that will stand up during the hurricane of persecution and sin and don't allow the posts and the poles of God to come down? Where are they? He said, I grieve, Jeremiah grieves. Just the other day, a youth pastor in Virginia got up in his home and he shot his wife and his stepdaughter and his boyfriend. I'm tongue-tied because I've read this thing several times and I'm thinking to myself, a youth pastor. On Thanksgiving Day, on the day to be thankful for everything that God has given me. And he blows away his family. Happy Thanksgiving. In Colorado, a pastor was just exposed for having sexual relationships with a 14-year-old who now is the mother of his child. Good job, stupid. Does anybody here, do you understand why the whiplash is coming and why Jeremiah cried out and echoed the cry of heaven? God said, where are my children? They've gone forth from me. There is salvation and reconciliation and redemption, and I understand that for those that have gone the way of Baal and have gone the way of sin. But my point is, we have left this tabernacle. And the father thereof, 14-year-old girl, carrying around the child of this pastor. We've left this understanding because of lust. Verse 22, and I'm closing. Maybe. Behold, the noise of the brute is come. That means a report. Bad translation by King James. It's a report. The report is coming and a great commotion out of the north country to make the city of Judah desolate and a den of demons. There's a noise going on. You can't hear it right now because you don't have ears to hear. But the remnant hears it. There's a commotion coming out. There are foreign nations that said they've had enough of us. I can hear the bear of Russia. I can hear the red dragon of China. I can hear all the other entities and all of those different hounds of hell saying, give us an opportunity to take down that nation. As we eat and we play our games and we surf fed and we watch television and we drink and we have lust and we burn up with fever thereof. The nations are waiting. God has them on the outskirts. And they're waiting for a moment and a call to when we are so weak. I believe that day is ever so soon. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Human philosophy cannot get you to heaven. Doctrines of men and demons and psychology cannot get you to heaven. Only the way of the Lamb and the Word of God through repentance and the change of course can get you to the throne room of God in eternal bliss. We don't have discipleship today in America. We've got stupid pastors. Not all of them. But we have some stupid preachers out there who've trusted in the denominational political line. And the Church of Sweden, it's just reported that they've made a decision that they're no longer going to use the name God or Lord or He. So they do not offend people who come into their churches that have gender preferences that are opposite of He and Lord. So now you will direct God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Son. You will direct Him as the Holy Trinity instead of declaring who He really is. That insanity has not only been seeded in Sweden, it's also in the theology of American preachers today, because we don't want to offend somebody. He is the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is Lord alone, and He will return, and He will judge the unrighteous. I have a father in heaven, not a mommy. Is anybody here? And I don't have time to go into the Hebrew and declare how God really is both, and how that He can transcend all of that. And He just gives us the understanding of who He is as a Father. But the reality, He is other. But He has no confusion of to who He is. Don't have time for that today. I got to hit you one more time across the eyeballs, and then I'm going to get out of here. I think I'm going to run to my car today. That's what I feel like. How about you? No, see, I know you know, because you're a part of this house, and I know people don't understand. How can folks hang out with this guy? There's so many that do, that watch us and support us and are a part of us, but there's so many that just can't handle reality, but they want to go outside to Disneyland and Disney World. Come on. They want to go out to SeaWorld and just dance around and frolic and just say, oh, isn't this just wonderful, while carcasses of dead men and children and all kinds of life is laid out before them, and they step over them on their way to the concession stand. You know it's the truth. We're living in days of insanity, and the lust of men is beyond words. I read a report by our friend Michael Snyder, who received this from another source and put it together so eloquently, like he does on his websites. But he said since 1997, there have been over 264 sexual harassment claims in Congress that have been settled to the tune of over $17 million. In fact, $17,250,854 of your dollars. God bless America, land that I love. Is anybody here? You and I, we couldn't even get a public defendant, let alone afford an attorney. And you look at this, and then it's a big surprise that there are so many people that are under indictment right now and under investigation right now for sexual harassment, from television personalities to politicians. Is it any wonder? We have been living in a cesspool for decades, and it's all coming to the top. We're going to make America great again. We're going to change things. We're going to live in the land of the home of the free and the brave and all that other stuff that we used to once believe. Well, I don't believe it anymore. We're in the land of shipwreck. We're in the land of whiplash. Just the other day, an 84-year-old woman was killed just 2 to 3 miles from here as the crow flies, right here in this town. 84-year-old woman killed by her 63-year-old son, who killed himself in the woods. And by the end of the day, I believe we'll find out it was all over opiates. It doesn't matter what the cause was. That's the hour that we live in. Happy Thanksgiving, Mama. I told you I was going to be raw today. And that's one story of multiplied thousands in America. No, I won't listen to your stupid preachers. I won't listen to the stupid prophets. I won't listen to these people that tell me everything's going to be fine when I can read for myself. I may not be the most educated man in the room. I may look like it. But I ain't stupid. We're in trouble. I always knew when Daddy got home I'd be in trouble. How about you? Now all of a sudden we think we can get away with murder. Finally, in verse 24 and 25, I'm going to get out of your way. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing.
pour out thy fury upon the heathen that they that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and made him a habitation desolate. Said he made his habitation desolate. God is going to judge the wickedness of this nation. He's going to judge the wickedness of the church. All I can tell you is to clean yourself up. If you're dealing with lust, listen to me, preacher. I don't care who you are today. If you're dealing with lust, get it right with God and ask God to help you and cleanse you and get that poison out of you. You can be free of it. Oh, it can be a battle? Absolutely. When you're in the flesh and you live in this life, it will attack you. But you can be free from it. We need to clean our minds up. We need to clean our hearts up. We need to clean our houses up. If you're dealing with any of the things I spoke on this morning, I encourage you to get away from it. Get it out of your heart and out of your home. Quit listening to preachers that say that those things are okay. Anything that takes your conscience away from what God created and what he designed as pure, moral, and holy to you, that is sin. Heavenly Father, I pray that those that are listening today would find a place of repentance. The whiplash is coming, Father. We've been hit from behind, and I don't think we realize how powerful of a force that it's going to be when this whole thing stops. I pray for those that are struggling, that really are. There are many. There are people who've contacted me. They're really struggling. Father, I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to break through and deliver them, Father, from the fever of lust. And for those that are cowardly and those that are hiding behind churches and pulpits and positions, I pray that you would expose them privately first. Privately, God, that is your heart. Lord, I love you today. And I do believe that there is a wave of your glory coming and there is a huge harvest in the making. And that's why I work and that's why I'm waiting for the great harvest of God. Lord, we love you now and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. Thank you for your time. I'll see you Wednesday.